In our security-conscious world, we often think of video surveillance in terms of protecting staff and securing facilities. However, video can benefit other operational areas in your organization. For example, monitoring the length of customer lines so you can step in quickly and reduce those wait times. I'm your host, James Hilliard, and on today's episode of Connection Point, I am joined by Rick Pearson from Cisco. Rick is a sales and technical trainer with extensive experience in computer hardware and networking solutions. His current focus, it is on Cisco small business solutions, including Cisco network switching, routing, storage, and voice and video. Rick here to talk about video surveillance and the latest IP video solutions. Also going to give us his insight on some storage requirements for the high-res video that's available now and what organizations need to know about these new systems, really to enhance their security and a whole lot more. And Rick, really appreciate you taking time and joining me today.
Well, thank you, James. I'm glad to be here.
I want to start off with just kind of an overview of the marketplace, kind of what's happening in terms of tech developments, market adoption. What's going on with video surveillance?
Video surveillance has been around for a while. You think about it, video cameras first came on the market 20, 25 years ago. We all started seeing the beta, the VHS cameras and so forth. And about the same time, you started seeing security cameras in stores, other places, you know, big cameras up in the corner looking at you, gave you kind of am I being watched kind of a thing. Well, things have progressed since then, of course. And, you know, security, video surveillance used to be all analog and actual cable running to a camera. And so you basically had a video surveillance network set up in your place of business. And those are set up for security reasons, right, for theft or vandalism or looking at employees and what they're doing. But that has progressed. I mean, we're in a digital age now. And so now we have the whole IP cameras. I mean, IP meaning, you know, the network we have in our business. Every business has some sort of a network. They have IP network running through their place of employment. These cameras, now instead of a separate cable connecting, they plug right into the network and they work great. So we're looking at video surveillance. It's been a huge market. In 2008, it was predicted to be a $1.4 billion market. You know, that means for a company producing video surveillance technology, it's a great place to be, but that tells us that people are buying it. That was 2008. 2012, which is right around the corner, is slated to be a $6.5 billion market. Again, great business, but that tells us that consumers, businesses are looking at video surveillance as a true way to go to help protect their workplace or other kind of things.
Absolutely. And more, and we'll get into it a bit later on in the conversation, I'm sure, about the size of organizations that are purchasing, because I know that's been changing over the many years. So we'll come back to that. We've already sort of hit on it a little bit, but typical, what are the typical uses, top one or two for IP video surveillance?
For example, retail stores, right? So you have, you want to secure the business, watch the doors, you want to avoid shrinkage, you want just theft, shoplifting out of the stores. That's a great way to do that. We've all seen the domes up in the ceiling, the shaded domes, the cameras inside of them, at least we think they are, right? So
right.
That's one example. Retail and then businesses, just watching your remote entrances, you know, the doors that are hard to keep secure. Just keep track of who's coming in and out those doors. Very simple.
Let me go personal. I actually rent some space at an executive office center, and there was some theft from individual offices. And so our office manager went out and said, hey, we're putting in some video surveillance. And so, I mean, it's just the heart of it, and still the typical and ongoing use will be for that surveillance, that security, et cetera. But it's also been changing, though. Give me your top one or two kind of unique uses of video surveillance outside of the security realm.
Well, that's a great question. Think of how many times we see video surveillance now on the eyewitness news. They catch things happening, right? Not only is it bad stuff happening like robberies or other kind of things, but you see accidents, car accidents and whatnot. I think the big one we all know about is the Times Square bomber. That was a person caught changing his shirt on a video surveillance camera. We saw that, but more and more we're seeing that these video surveillance tapes are being able to be used in court for lots of reasons, and one would be for insurance claims, right? Just to kind of keep track of what's happening in a business. If something goes wrong that's bad or maybe even good, you can use it to claim on insurance. There's an example of just watching, like in a bank or a store, just watching the lines for the tellers and seeing when they get to a certain point, it's time to bring somebody else out from behind someplace out to the front to help out. So there's lots of non-security kind of ways to use video surveillance to keep track of what's going on in your business and around.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump into some of the kind of specific Cisco offerings in the area of IP video. What are some of the things that people should be looking for?
Okay. So with video surveillance, we're talking, you know, typically we're talking cameras, right? And we have Cisco has lots of offerings in cameras. We have, you know, from the entry-level pan, tilt, zoom to the advanced pan, tilt, zoom, which means you can pan around, you can control it from a workstation someplace and look around different places in the organization. You can zoom in on certain spots and so forth. We have video surveillance cameras that give you day as well as night infrared kind of views of things. And I think most of us have seen these reality shows where they show the nighttime camera looking at what's going on. You see how that looks. We have that capability with our cameras. We have cameras that are wireless and non-wireless. Cameras that, and in fact, all of our cameras are what's called powered over Ethernet. So we have a network. It's an Ethernet network typically, and you plug a Cat 5 cable into that camera, and the power to run the camera comes from the network switch and doesn't need to be plugged into a power outlet someplace. So the deal with IP cameras, just it's easy to deploy these cameras, set them up wirelessly or non-wirelessly. And what's very nice about what sets our cameras apart from many others is that our cameras all come with video monitoring software as a part of the camera. There's no extra licensing you have to purchase, no extra software you have to purchase. It's with the camera when you purchase it. You get the camera, in a matter of moments, you plug it into your network. It's an IP device. The software is loaded on a machine someplace. It finds the device, and you have video surveillance up and running and literally moments.
Well, let me date myself a little bit, Rick. Come with me on this journey back to the original Die Hard movie, right? And it's the cliche these days. You got the security guard sitting there, big panel of all these TV monitors and watching all these big, hunky, large video cameras that are, you know, zooming around trying to watch everything. The cliche there is it used to be for the large organizations, these multinationals, the huge towers, all that. Bottom line now, and this gets to what we were diving into a bit earlier, is small organizations as well these days are benefiting. They can get this up and running using just a PC, a couple cameras, and they can secure their business.
That is correct. Absolutely. In fact, what we're finding is, again, it is so easy and straightforward to set up. It's just that. It's just very cost competitive. I mean, you talk about the old style cameras with the actual cable and the video and so forth. That was expensive to have running, and now you just plug it into your network and you're good to go. Not only can small organizations benefit greatly and easily from this technology, but the bigger companies that already have some kind of video surveillance already deployed, typically they've had it for a while, and it's the old CCTV technology, which is the big cables that we're all used to seeing coming into our home, bringing our TV to us. This is a cable connecting to the camera. And so now what the bigger companies are doing are actually converting and upgrading their old style to the new IP camera solution, which, again, is very simple to deploy. You plug it in your network, you're good to go. You have power over Ethernet. You don't need a separate power source for it. Some of them are wireless. It's just all great. So very usable for the small companies, and for the bigger companies, they're going that way anyway. They're all converting over, so it's great.
I'm assuming it takes a little extra effort, more than just plugging, say, a webcam into your laptop. But in terms of ease of use for the average small business that wanted to look into this, they don't need an IT staff. They probably don't even need tech support. It's simple enough for most people. Is that kind of what the feedback's been?
That is true, yes. Yes, right. It's just find the IP address and you're good to go.
Okay, cool. All right, so Rick Pearson with us from Cisco. A couple more minutes here on this edition of Connection Point. And one thing that I know about video, because I also work on producing video for companies, is video can be big. Those files can be large. So organizations do need to think about storage. What do they need to think about? How do they have to evaluate their storage needs to handle, you know, holding this video?
Certainly, it's a great question because, you know, with the advent of the IP-based solution, the IP video we're talking about now, because it's a digital file, we have a lot we can do with that. We can compress the file, make the actual file size smaller. One thing when you're considering video as we go forward here that, you know, the size of the file can be influenced by the resolution. You can control, you know, whether it's a low or a high resolution image. You can control the actual bit rate, the recording rate, the actual frame rate, how many frames per second are you grabbing. Because sometimes you've seen the videos on TV that kind of start and stutter along a little bit. That's just based on the frame rate and how it's being recorded. But you can control all that, so you can control how big the files actually are when you come down to, you know, when you have to have a place to store those files. So,
and bottom line, I'm guessing, too, is working with those files. Say you need to go back and view them. It's not like going on the older systems. Again, I'll go back to my diehard days. I know back then those were, you know, VHS-type tapes. They were even beta tapes in some of those systems. So you had to go through the tapes. You had to be changing tapes. Here, this can be continually recording. Is it as easy as kind of, I mean, just going to your hard drive, finding the file, the time, the day, or whatever, and then watching the video?
It's as easy as that, exactly what it is, actually. It's a file that's created. You can specify time and date and other things on the file. You can search through the file. You can save it as an MPEG video or a JPEG image. There's lots of ways to deal with this. But it is a truly a digital file that we're all used to seeing now.
All right. Let's do this. I want to give Rick some kind of tips to folks, starting off with those that are kind of upgrading. They've already got video monitoring in place. Maybe it's the older versions. What's one or two things they should be considering, thinking about, asking when planning an upgrade?
Well, when you look at the what you have currently, the first question is, you know, do we have everything covered we need covered, right? Is there more places that we've noticed over the years we've had this video surveillance that we're not covering? Because, again, with the new video technology, the video surveillance technology is very simple to add a camera in a place where you couldn't really get one before for whatever reason. They are a lot smaller than the older cameras are. They're, again, we have wireless cameras that don't need a physical connection to them to get in places like that. So, again, the first step I'd look just evaluate your current situation and see if you need more someplace. And then you want to look at your power needs and other kind of things like that to see if the power of Ethernet would be the best answer for you and so forth. If you've already got cameras in place and you're just replacing them, you probably already have power to them, because typically those older cameras had to have power supply. They didn't get powered over their cable.
And I'm kind of imagining a larger warehouse where in the middle of the warehouse or something like that, there is no wiring or something like that. It might be a great place for one of the wireless cameras to be implemented in the middle there. So, all right, cool. What about any differences in terms of things to think about if someone is just going to be starting from scratch to lay out a video monitoring network and the cameras and everything?
The same question really exists is what are your needs? Number one, what places do you want to secure if your security is what you're doing this for, or what are you trying to watch and keep under surveillance, right? So you're looking for accessibility. You're looking for, again, what kind of network do you have in place? Because if you are going to use a camera that's powered over Ethernet, you then have to have a switch that can do that as well. So as you're looking to put this out, you're looking to see, well, what do we have in place with our network infrastructure that can support what we're trying to do here? And further than that, if you're going to be putting cameras in, if you're just starting out, you're going to need to consider what kind of storage mechanism are you going to use. The camera produces these images that can be recorded or not. You don't have to record the images. You can just have them playing and you can watch them. But if you want to record them and save them for later, which most of the time you do, they can be stored on a server. They can be stored on a network-attached storage device. We happen to have a network-attached storage device called our Smart Storage that gives you lots of storage for a really inexpensive price. They can be stored on flash drives. I mean, lots of places to put these things. So considerations of how to deal with storage, how to deal with accessibility, and how to deal with powering these cameras.
I think that's one of my big takeaways, and I think probably for our listeners as well, the big evolution here in video surveillance, and one of the biggest things is just flexibility. There's just so much more that people can do than with those older fixed systems. So, Rick, really appreciate you taking time, giving us some insights today, and sharing the story.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking with you, James.
And for everyone that is listening, if you would like to learn more about Cisco Video Surveillance and Smart Storage, and if you want to hear about the professional services such as network, storage, and security assessments that are available from the PC Connection family of companies, you can do a couple of things. First off, contact your account manager and your account team. You can also go online to pcconnection.com. If you'd like to give a phone call, it's 1-800-800-0014, and you can email to connect@pcconnection.com. I'm James Hilliard. Thanks again for joining us for this installment of Connection Point.